Good afternoon, folks, and welcome to Alaska Gold Trails. I'm your host, Jim Madonna. This is your radio show on mining in Alaska, past, present, and future. More specifically, folks, gold mining in Alaska's misty past, controversial present, and mysterious future. As you know, I'll be with you here on KFAR 660 on your radio dial each Thursday from 1 to 2 p.m., where we're going to discuss the entire spectrum of mining in Alaska, from the fascinating and colorful history of the major and minor gold rushes to the most recent gold prospecting and mining techniques. Also, we will have special guests to discuss different frontier and mining-related topics. Most of all, my friends, give us a call if you have a question or care to make a comment. Or maybe you just want to chat for a few minutes or want to share one of your favorite frontier experiences. The number here is 479-TALK. That's 479-8255. Let's talk gold mining through the years along Alaska Gold Trails. Talk a little bit about our contest. We have a contest every week, and the contest generally spins around one of the sponsors here on Alaska Gold Trails. But before we launch right into that particular contest, let's learn a little bit about what's going on in mining extension and what kind of classes are going to be offered. First of all, I'd like to bring to your attention that the Mining Extension Rock and Mineral Identification class that was to start on September 18th will begin next Monday. So those of you who are interested in that class and didn't have an opportunity to sign up, right now you have a second chance to sign up for the Rock and Mineral class. And you want to keep this in mind, that this Rock and Mineral class is a public service class. It's open to the public. There's no prerequisite. It's for your personal enjoyment to enhance your outdoor activity. So, Rocks and Minerals will be held at the University of Alaska Mining Extension. If you'd like to give us a call on that particular class, the number is 474-7702, or you can call me, Jim Madonna, at 456-2569, and we'll give you some more information on it. Keep in mind that this is an evening class that generally runs 7 to 10 each evening, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday evenings, for a total of about 30 hours. And everybody is welcome, 8 to 88, or 8 to 888, whatever the case may be. Now, we want to take a few minutes out here at the beginning of the show. Of course, I've announced earlier that Bill Boucher will be on with me as soon as I can round him up and get him in line here. And he is an old-time Alaskan. I understand that he was born in Alaska. And so, for our contest, you know, it's really funny that during these contests, these phone lines light up before I ever ask the question. I think people have an intuition about what I'm going to say, or they have all the answers already in mind. But what I want to hear about today is I want to hear about who is located at 452-8141. I want to know who they are, where they are, and what they do. And you better be ready to give a good ad for this very, very special sponsor of Alaska Gold Trails. Okay, and we've got the first line, first caller on the line. Hi, you're on the air. Nobody's there. Hello?
Hello, is it Jim?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, well, first of all, let me encourage people to think about that rock and mineral class. I think it's a good opportunity to learn a little something about geology. I'm kind of teetering on the thought of taking the class too, just as a refresher.
Oh, quit teetering. Jump right in there.
I'm considering it. But gave the number you gave was 452-8141.
Is that what I gave?
I think so.
Yeah, 452-8141.
Yeah, that's, of course, the number to Macaulay's Reprographic.
This has got to be Jesse.
That's right.
Okay, Jesse. I'll tell you what, I got another caller on the line too, Jesse, so I'm going to tell them right now real quick. Stay on there. We'll give them a little prize too if they want to work for it.
Okay.
Okay, but right now, the floor is yours, my friend, so let's hear it.
Okay, so you want to hear about what they do over there?
I want the whole work.
I'm gonna give you something that not everybody knows that they can do over there. One of the things that they can do is they have the capability to make transparencies for you off of stuff that you want reproduced. So if you have a class or something, you could get like overhead type
sure.
stuff done. You know, that's something that some people don't know where to go get that sort of thing done, and
mm-hmm.
they can certainly do it for you, and they'll enlarge it or reduce it and do all that kind of stuff for you.
Mm-hmm.
Macaulay's, of course, is your source for lots of equipment for surveying and that kind of equipment. Breton compasses for outdoors people, not just surveyors. And, you know, I guess that's part of their name is Reprographic. They can reproduce just about anything, including blueprints and all that sort of stuff.
You know, Jesse, sometimes people ask about Canadian maps, and I understand that the folks over there have some Canadian maps, and you can ask, of course, Alfred or Becky about that if you want to give them a call. And again, that number is 452-8141. But keep going, my friend. You're doing fine.
Okay, well, of course, they're located at 721 Gaffney, and that's really easy to get to. It's a little access road between Cushman and Barnett Street there. And boy, I don't know what else to say about them.
Well, I think you've covered it pretty well. Let's see. Now, you want me to put your name down here for what? What did I say you were going to win, Jesse?
I don't know.
You didn't care what you were going to win. You just wanted to answer the question.
That's right.
Well, what do you generally win?
I generally win a 1 ounce silver ingot from one of your other sponsors.
Oh, who was that? Can you tell me, where would you pick that up, Jesse?
That's from Oxford Assaying and Refining.
And where are they located, Jesse?
208 Wendell.
Uh-huh. Is that right? 208 Wendell.
I think so.
Yeah, their number is 456-3967. Is that right?
I'll have to take your word for it.
I thought probably you had a pad sitting there with all these answers on it, pat down, ready to go, Jesse. I'm surprised. So you're going to, I'm not going to give you a 1 troy ounce silver ingot today, Jesse.
Okay, what are you going to do?
You're
going
to break your heart. I think maybe we're going to try to give you, instead of getting that square ingot today, I'm going to give you a 1 troy ounce silver round of some kind. I'll let Oxford Assaying and Refining determine which one they're going to give you.
All
so
right.
You have a little bit different this
That
time.
Sounds good.
Huh?
That sounds good.
Same value, just a little different in character. You'll
okay.
enjoy it. And Jesse, thanks a lot for participating on Alaska Gold Trails and pumping the rock and mineral class for me. And I hope to see you there, my friend.
Okay.
Okay, thanks very much, Jesse. Don't forget, you got to come up here and get your certificate. Hi, did you stay with me?
I did.
Well, tell me something. Do you know, I'm sure you know all about Macaulay's now.
Yeah, we got a pretty good rundown on that.
Yeah, you think you can do another one?
Oh, maybe, I don't know.
Which one would you like to do?
Oh, let's see, how about the NL Pawn Shop?
Hey, it's yours, do it.
Yeah, they're at the Cushman and Gaffney there, and they've got everything in there that you'd want to buy or pick up at a price, the binoculars, the cameras, you name it, they've got it. I mean, and tools of all kinds, and they'll always listen to anything you got to say in there.
Okay, but the one thing that we have to know about B&L Pond, where is their major advertising that everybody seen in Fairbanks knows about right now? Do you know where that's at?
On TFAR.
On Alaskan Gold Trail?
Alaska Gold Trail, that's
right. Oh,
Alaska.
Yeah, well, that's close, but I'm sure that more people know in Fairbanks know that they're on the back of the phone directory. But
we got the big
yeah.
rod right there with the mountain on it and all.
That's right. And you know who took that picture? That's their number one girl over there.
Number one girl, no.
You don't know who that would be?
No, I don't.
That's Killer.
Killer?
Killer took that picture. And as you pointed out, they got everything over there from, well, what do we generally say? It's like having a big garage sale in one room.
That's Roger. Cameras, stereos, gold, TV, video, fuel, tools, guitars, guns, car stereos. Need a grub stick? Dynamite deal.
Hey, tell me, once again, what's their phone number?
479. Oh, their phone number?
Yep.
452-3063 or 452-6491.
And where are they located once again?
605 Gaffney, corner of Cushman and Gaffney.
Okay, my friend, you've done very well. Let's see, I can't give another silver ingot away today, but I can give you a nice geode from Alaskan Prospectors. How's that?
That's Roger. Thank you very much.
Okay, just give me your name.
Bob Gurritz.
Bob?
G-U-R-I-T-Z.
G-U-R-I-T-Z. Tell you what, Bob, you don't have to come up to the studio for this. Alaskan Prospectors has your name over there, and they will have a crystalline geode waiting for you if you drop in there. How's that?
Okay, it'll have
504 College.
Yes, I know where they are.
Okay, sir. Thanks,
okay,
Bob.
Thank you.
Thanks so much. Well, we finished that up and had a little extra in there. Oxford Assaying and Refining kind of got a little light shed on them over there at 208 Wendell Street. And B&L Pond, they, of course, Bob gave them a nice spiel, and Macaulay's Reaper Graphics. Jesse was right in on top of that. Like to point out that Oxford Assaying and Refining has done a real fine job. Not only are they a sponsor for Alaska Gold Trails, but they also have given a silver ingot away each week on Alaska Gold Trails for our prize winners. And, you know, I kind of appreciate you folks out there phoning in, giving us a little bit of your attention, and talking about the sponsors. These people, of course, are real sponsors, and that they think that Alaska Gold Trails is a contribution to the Fairbanks community, and they feel very strongly about sponsoring it. They've been with me for the most part. They've been with me ever since I initiated the program, along with KFAR's support back 2 years ago. And I don't know if you know the history of this, but there was a fellow here, a real good friend of mine by the name of Michael Dresser. And one day he got hold of me and he said, "Hey, Jim, we need a mining program on KFAR. Would you like to give it a shot?" And I said, "Well, sure, I'll do what I can on it." And I'll never forget that first show and what a disaster it was. Oh, my goodness. But we're coming along here. Now I know where to press the buttons anyway. And it's been a good 2 years. I've enjoyed it, and I've enjoyed the participation from the audience. You're always welcome to give me a call here on at Alaska Gold Trails. Our number here is 479-TALK. That's 479-8255. And give us a call if you got a tale or something you want to tell, or if you have a question of our guest today. It's Bill Boucher, and I'm certain a lot of folks out there know Bill. Bill was born in Alaska up there at Nome, and spent a good portion of his time going to school at Nome. And to give you a little bit of background on that, we have had Bill on the show 3 times previous to this, and he has brought himself all the way up. The first show, he made it to 4 years old. The second show, I think he made it to 15. And the third show, he made it to 17. So he's going right along. I figure in another 20 or 30 shows, we'll have it all the way through his life up to date. And right at this point, I would like to say welcome to Alaska Gold Trails, Bill.
Well, thank you, Jim. Glad to be here.
Be back, is that right?
Right.
So somebody asked me the other day, they said, "Well, you and Bill Boucher have a show on radio." yeah, that's kind of the way it's been. You've been in and out of town a little bit here, and we've had some excellent guests. We have had a great deal of fun learning about Nome, the Seward Peninsula, from your point of view and the experiences that you've had. One of the most interesting to me was one of the most interesting, that doesn't mean it was the ultimate, was the time that that the animal, the wild beast, bit your rifle barrel as you pulled the trigger. And we were probably talking about your trapping and hunting experiences, a little bit about the fact that your mother owned the Nome Nugget, and that you spent a lot of time in at the Groupot. And you want to briefly run over those and start, I think we just had just about ended your high school activities and we're launching into your more adult life activities when we finished the show last. So if you want to give us a little bit of background on, well, what is a Groupot?
Well, I think I went into that last time a little bit. The Groupot was just while out front it was kind of a soda fountain and Nome's answer to the deli. Back room was where the old timers played Pam, which is a card game. typical to miners, I guess, everywhere.
So the back room was the miners' area. The front room was a soda pop or a soda fountain?
Yeah, more or less.
And the kids hung out there?
A lot of kids hung out there, in and out, all the time.
Mm-hmm. And just once again, just to bring us up to date, a little bit about your mother's ownership of the Gnome Nugget and how you participated in that business.
Well, my mother did own the Gnome Nugget, and naturally, I participated in most all phases of the business, from selling newspapers, folding them, to printing them, and even writing for the newspaper, everything but editorials, of course.
As I recall, the editorials was your mother's domain, and no one was to touch it but her. Is that correct?
Exactly.
I see. And tell us then again about some of the other activities that built up to when you graduated from high school, and kind of blend us into your beginning of adult life. One question I have is that you spent a lot of time in the air flying. When did you first start flying? Was that when before you got out of high school, or?
Yeah, long before I got out of high school. I had always had a desire to fly, so whenever possible, whenever I had time, I would hang out at the airport, the little city airport, and help load planes, help gas planes, strain the gas, you know, anything that was that had to be done, I was willing to do just to get a ride.
Just to get a ride.
That's right.
And so these guys would take you up in the airplane, and apparently they let you have the controls a little bit.
Every now and then.
Uh-huh.
I got to fly some of the older airplanes. And a lot of pretty interesting.
Such as, how did you blend into that? Were you particularly anxious when you went up to grab the controls? Were you anxious to get in? Once they'd started letting you handle the controls, you looked forward to it, did you?
Oh, of course.
Yeah, and perhaps you were a little bit disappointed if you didn't get to handle them.
Well, I didn't have time to be disappointed because there was always something else to do.
Uh-huh. They always kept you busy.
Sure, I could always, when I did go for a ride with them out to one of the villages, I was always there to help unload the plane and load it with other goodies.
That gave you a lot of good experience in terms of visiting the villages, getting acquainted with the people in the villages, and you one time explained the different villages and towns around the Seward Peninsula to us on probably the first show that we had. You described their location.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the villages, what would, in your day, what would a small village look like? Can you describe one to us? pick one that was typical.
Well, how about Shishmaref?
Okay.
Shishmaref sat up on the north side of the north part of the Seward Peninsula on a kind of a spit that was it wasn't really a spit, it was kind of a long narrow piece of ground with a lagoon behind it. It was a neat little village made up of little tiny houses, and some of them half buried, had a store. I remember George Goshaw ran the store. He had a fox farm up there too. The interesting thing, landing at any time at a village, any village, nearly the whole village would come out to meet the plane, especially in the wintertime. In the summertime, they were usually pretty busy. But in the wintertime, everybody would come to meet the plane. Kids, women, children, store clerks.
Is that right?
School teacher. Quite often, the school, they'd let school out just to come out and see the plane.
And, you know, I was fortunate enough to have the opportunity to teach at Gamble on St. Lawrence Island.
Very typical village.
Right, and that's exactly what happened. As soon as they heard the plane overhead, all of a sudden you saw all the people coming out, and they had little three-wheelers coming out to meet the plane. They had little trailers and things to pick up the equipment and materials that were being brought in by the plane. And it was interesting. I stayed with those people for a good period of time, lived right with them, and taught the mining extension program out there. And it was quite an experience.
I'll bet it was.
Yes, and I guess that's kind of typical of what you had experienced.
Very much so, except, of course, in my day, we didn't have three-wheelers. The only transportation in the village in those days was a sled. Then it was only in the wintertime.
I see. And no dog team?
Well, the sled with a dog team. Sure.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. I thought maybe somebody just pulled the sled out to the...
On occasion. That
on
happened
occasion,
there, yeah.
Now, let's see if I'm not mistaken. It's snow machines and three- and four-wheelers.
That's right.
Right. So, okay. We got you up to the time that you graduated from high school. Is there anything else that you want to add to your activities before you graduated from high school that we might be interested in?
How many weeks do we have?
Yeah. Well, as I told you once before, we're going to have to wind this up within the next 2 or 3 years. So, you know, use your time accordingly. What do you got? There was a blend. How many students graduated with you in your high school?
There were five of us in my graduating class.
Uh-huh. Five in your graduating class.
Right.
And are they all around Alaska at this time? Do you know where they're at?
Well, let's see. One died that I know of, and I think the rest of us are still around Alaska.
And so born in Alaska, they stayed in Alaska.
That's right.
Okay. Now, you know what we're going to do? We're going to take a little break. We're going to come back. We're going to give you an opportunity to think about what you're going to say about what happened right after you graduated from high school and you transitioned into adult life.
I got three brothers, Artie and TJ and Max, and I try to keep in touch, but there were times when it got a little tough. See, Artie owns a gallery in Arkansas, and TJ is a night DJ in Washington, D.C., and Max works a split shift at a factory in Frisco. So in the old days, if I wanted to save any money, I could only call on Thursdays between 10:45 and 11 p.m. That's the one time I could save and be sure I wouldn't wake somebody up. And boy, if you knew Max, you would do anything not to wake him up. But thanks to GCI, now I can call anybody whenever I want. GCI has calling plans that let me save on every call at any time of day. So all I have to remember is that Artie works days, TJ works nights, Max works the split shift, and that I should never, never wake Max up. If you make long-distance calls, you should get a GCI calling plan, too. Because no matter who you call or when you call, GCI never forgets it's your call. So come on, call GCI now.
Professional travel clients have wondered, how could professional travel ever get any better? Well, it really has, because it's merged with Sunshine Travel. And Lee Ham is moving right over to Sunshine Travel and taking two members of the staff along, Nancy Carter and Susan Thomas. Yes, it's the same old phone number with even expanded services. The number, of course, is 456-1906. If you're thinking of traveling, hey, think of the professionals and give them a friend's a call. You'll be glad you did.
Bill, before I go on with some of our other announcements, we got a phone call here. Let's see what they have to say. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. You're on with Bill Boucher, and my name's Jim McDonald.
All right, Jim. Why don't you ask Bill if he ever finished the convertible he was trying to build in the back of it in his garage back there?
Apparently, there was something that we should know about this convertible, isn't there? Bill, you want to expand on that a little bit?
Well, I had a 1941 Pontiac. It was a two-door torpedo, straight eight, and I wanted a convertible in the worst way. So I cut the top out of it. No, I never did finish it. Who is this, by the way?
This is John.
John who?
John Herman.
John Herman. Hi, Johnny.
Hi, Bill.
No, I never did finish it.
I think it would have been the first one in Fairbanks.
Or Nome.
At the time.
It was the first one in Nome.
It
was the first car without a top, but it never did have a top after that.
Yeah.
Doesn't this make it a convertible one time?
That's right.
It did never did get, you know, great.
We could call it a converted.
Converted? it required a garage, is that right, Johnny?
Oh, he had one in there. Yeah,
only when it rained did it require the garage.
Well, John, thanks for the call.
Okay,
good evening. Well, you didn't tell us about those little things. Well, I guess that's what happens when you're going to be on the radio for such a long time, Bill.
Well, that was scheduled for 3 months down the line.
I see. Okay. What happened? You graduated from high school. Where did you go? What did you do?
Well, about the time I was graduating from high school, I decided I wanted to go to the Naval Academy. So our delegate to Congress at the time, Bob Bartlett, managed to get me the appointment, and I took all the exams, passed all the exams, and they sent me out to for the physical. And everything was fine except that my teeth didn't pass.
I see.
I had an overbite, so they wouldn't let me go to the academy. Well, I was rather disappointed, so I looked around for another college and decided I should go as far from home as I could get because I'd like to see the rest of the country. So I picked the University of Virginia. I was accepted and spent 2 years there in engineering before I went into the Air Force. That was about 1954 when I went into the Air Force.
What did you do? What did you do in the Air Force? Was it something special? Or?
Well, I was in flight training for most of the time I was there. About the time I was, about a month before graduation, the Korean conflict was over. They don't like to call it a war, I guess. And pilots were coming back in droves. So they didn't need any more pilots.
Uh-huh.
So they were washing us out right and left. And one day I passed out in the altitude chamber at 43,000 feet. I became one of the washouts.
Mm-hmm.
Finished my tour of duty in the Air Force and became a civilian again.
Did you actually fly airplanes?
Oh, sure.
And what kind of airplanes did you fly?
Well, I started out in a J-3 Cub. They gave me 30 minutes. And then I converted to a T-6, which was the main trainer in those days. And converted from that to a T-33, which was the jet trainer.
Uh-huh. And how long did you fly the jet trainer?
Oh, let's see. I had several hundred hours in the jet trainer.
Mm-hmm. You've got a call here. Hi, you're on the air.
Pardon me, but didn't Bill work for Municipal Utilities somewhere along in there?
I think that's in about the eighth show coming up. Yes, he did. You want to expand on that a little bit, Bill?
Well, I started with the utilities in 1959, I think it was.
Oh, I was off several years. Pardon me.
Oh, that's all right. Mm-hmm. I started in about 1959 and went through 1973.
Okay, I thought you had started earlier there. My memory's fading as I get older. I'm sorry, Bill.
Well, that's all right.
Okay.
We're not going to tell them who this is, right, Bob?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, leave my name out of it. Just the initial, please. Okay, you fellas take care. I'll see you later.
Okay, Bob, thanks for the call.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
All right, let me do one of these since we've had a couple of phone calls here. I want to launch into a little bit about our friends who exist over there at 530 4th Avenue. And that, of course, is Mount McKinley Bank. And as you know them, they're Mount McKinley Mutual Savings Bank. And, of course, Connie Miller is the Assistant Vice President of Marketing over there. And I want to give you a little information about them, but I want you to call them up and get full detailed information. And, of course, I want you to tell them that you heard me talking about them here on Alaska Gold Trails because that'll make them happy and it'll certainly make me happy. One of the items that they have offered over there this past summer is loans to build your dream home. And a lot of people think that around the Fairbanks area, because there are so many unoccupied homes, that perhaps building loans wouldn't be available any longer. But that isn't the case. Mount McKinley offers building loans so that you can build the home of your dreams. And once again, they're located at 530 4th Avenue. Their phone number is 452-1751. But more than that, Mount McKinley Mutual Savings Bank has been serving the people and the businesses of Fairbanks since 1965, And because they're a mutual bank, Mount McKinley has no stockholders. Rather, it's managed by a board of trustees for the benefit of the depositors. So, consequently, Mount McKinley has been a community leader in paying high interest rates to their depositors since 1965. They've got a great many other services over there at Mount McKinley Mutual Savings Bank. I want you to give them a call. I want you to find out what their services are, and you never know when knowing that information might not be worth a silver ingot from Oxford Assaying and Refining, located at 208 Wendell Street. That's Mount McKinley Mutual Savings Bank. Keep in mind, they're located now at 530 4th Avenue. They've got entrances on both 3rd and 4th, and the parking lot, of course, is on 4th Avenue. Their phone number is 452-1751. Give them a call. Ask for that information, and be ready with that information so that you can share it with me. I'll sure enjoy hearing about it. And while we're talking about Oxford Assaying and Refining, you know that that's where the miners sell their gold, and you also know that they go by the name of the precious metals people. Oxford Assaying and Refining is located at 208 Wendell Street, and I know many of you out there have recalled the one day that I made my single mistake about their street number. But regardless of what you heard on that day of error, their location is 208 Wendell Street, and you want to keep that straight as well. And their phone number, 456-3967, and that's where you can get all kinds of information regarding precious metal investment ideas, gift ideas. You know, I always, when I'm going somewhere, like I will be going off to Australia this year, I always take a few silver ingots with me to give away as gifts. And I want you to know that the people that receive these kinds of gifts are just overjoyed with them. In addition to that, we want to keep in mind that Oxford Assaying and Refining also sells coins at various sizes, from 1/10 ounce all the way up to 1 ounce coins, plus ingots and investment gold bars and silver bars are also available at Oxford Assaying and Refining. And one other service that they offer on a daily basis is the quote line, where you can obtain the daily prices on gold, silver, and platinum. The quote line number, if you want to jot this down, get your pencil, 452-7858. That's 452-7858, and you will receive the daily quote on gold, silver, and platinum. And if you need additional information about anything, that any of the services that Oxford has regarding precious metals, their number is 456-3967. And once again, folks, we're here on KFAR Radio, 660 on your radio dial, and Bill Boucher is ready to answer any of your questions about Nome or his activities in the Fairbanks area. Give us a call here. The number is 479-TALK. That's 479-8255. Bill Boucher, tell us more. We were still back there. We're not going to talk about the convertible, the convert anymore. We're going to... You went into the service. When did you get out of the service, Bill?
1957. Got out of the Air Force and came back to Alaska, and went to the University of Alaska here in Fairbanks for a couple of years. Had a good time.
You had a good time?
Mm-hmm.
Is that the purpose of going to the university, to have a good time?
You bet it is.
You're trying to tell us that learning is fun?
You bet.
Oh, all the students in my class think it's fun.
Of course they do.
Oh, they have a great time. And if any of my students are out there and listening to this, they're welcome to phone me up and tell me that if they didn't have fun, oh my, I might open the door for something there. go ahead, and you went to the University of Alaska. Did you get a degree?
No, I sure didn't.
Well, what did you fly? Did you continue flying?
I did.
You did?
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about your flying.
Well, I've been flying here and there most of my life, I guess.
I had an interesting experience. A couple of weeks ago, you and I flew up to Nome, and we flew back. And then I went up, you were up at Nome with some friends, and I flew up there this past weekend. And it was kind of interesting. I flew up commercially, and I came back Sunday night, and I got on Alaska Airlines, and it was an entertaining flight, you know. I got on Alaska Airlines. I was sitting there. We'd been out in the field all day long. I was covered with mud and dirty and smelly. And there was this two kids and this lady sat down in the row in front of me. And this one kid, he poked his head around the corner of the seat. You know how you can do? I was sitting by the window. He was sitting by the window. And he was talking to me. And he says, "Where are you going?" And I said, "Well, I'm going to Fairbanks." I said, "Where are you going?" He didn't quite catch it. He says, "Well, I'm going to where it snows in Alaska." And so, you know, these two people, him and his mother, they were the life of the whole flight. They put on an entertainment show. Lisa and Keith were their name. A great entertainment show. Could only happen on Alaska Airlines. Really enjoyed it. All the passengers enjoyed it. And I'm certain that it's a big pump for Alaska Airlines to know that they have entertainment on flights. And that's all I'm going to say about that. Now, you've flown. That's my experience in flying. Other than, and I'm not going to mention any of the highlight experiences that I've had with you flying back and forth to Nome, but it was also an enjoyable experience.
But tell me, Jim, how long did it take you to get to Nome from here on Alaska Airlines?
It took me, I'll tell you the truth, now I'm going to make this perfectly clear. I got there faster riding with you.
All right.
Okay. Is that what you wanted to know? But you got to understand that I had a layover in Anchorage.
Of course.
But I'll tell you, the layover coming back from Nome to Fairbanks, the layover was as long as it took us to fly almost from Nome to Fairbanks.
That's why I have an airplane.
And that's why you have an airplane.
That's right.
Oh, well, we better not talk about airplanes anymore. I have an airplane, too. I used to have a helicopter, but now I have an airplane. Anyway, tell us a little bit more about your flying experiences and the fact that you never did quit flying. You flew in the service. You flew the jets. You're pretty up to date on flying. Now, what kind of airplane do you own?
I have a Mooney 201 now.
Is that all you have?
Well, I have a helicopter, too.
You do? Well, that's interesting, Bill. That's very interesting. You fly the Mooney quite a lot?
Yes.
Well, for those people out there who are listening that don't know what a Mooney looks like, is there another aircraft that it might be similar to? Is it a high wing or a low wing?
It's a low wing airplane. It's a four-place airplane. It has retractable gear. It's small, fast, and efficient.
Mm-hmm. And how long have you owned that?
I bought it in 1978.
1978, so you've had it a little over 10 years. Tell us, in addition to all this flying that's been going on, tell us some of your other experiences in flying that you might have had that might be of interest to the listening audience.
Well, we don't like to talk about things like, you know, interesting flying experiences, do we?
Maybe you don't. I guess not. If you don't want to talk about interesting flying experiences, we'll save it for another day.
Sure.
And believe me, another day is coming. Now tell us about your experiences following the service and what you went into here in Fairbanks, Alaska. I understand that you worked here. Bob just called us and said that you worked for MUS. Is that correct?
That's right. I went to work for MUS in 1959.
Was that right after the college activities?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And what did you do with MUS?
I was with the telephone department there.
I see.
I worked my way up through the ranks, as you would, and left the MUS in 73, went off contracting and on my own.
Uh-huh. And what do you mean by contracting on your own? What did you do in contracting on your own?
I did a number of things. I went into selling telephone equipment to contractors and installing sound equipment, various types of communications gear. I've been doing that ever since I left MUS. Now I'm doing mostly consulting work, various parts of the country.
I see. And do you maintain a residence here in Alaska?
I do.
Uh-huh. And you sometimes work outside as well, wherever the work will take you?
Wherever the work is where I have to be.
As a consultant.
That's
but
right.
Your home is in Alaska.
My home is here.
Fairbanks.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. You also have property. You still have property in Nome.
I do.
Uh-huh. And so you're an Alaskan.
I am.
You even look like an Alaskan.
Born and raised.
Yes, sir. Let me tell you something about where you should get your car fixed, okay?
At Gates.
How did you know that? How did you know that?
I listened to the program.
You do? You're a good boy. Let's talk a little bit about Gates Truck and Auto here. Last week I said, folks, you better find out what's new at Gabe's Truck and Auto. Did you phone them up and ask them? Did you phone them up and ask what's new at Gabe's Truck and Auto? Of course, everybody knows the ad. Whether it's an auto or a light truck or a motorhome or a big rig for the best service of town, it's Gabe's Truck and Auto Repair. And, you know, it's interesting to note that the Fairbanks Chamber of Commerce gave Gabe's Truck and Auto their prestigious Raven About Fairbanks Award for providing the best vehicle service in Fairbanks. And, you know, I used to say, well, Gabe's has two large shops and eight mechanics on hand to serve you. I can't say that anymore. They now have three large shops. And they have two new mechanics. They're transmission specialists. So they have a new transmission department over there with people of authority in charge of making those repairs. In addition to that, now listen to this. Listen to this very carefully. They have a speedy lube over there, lube while you wait, that cannot be approached by anybody in town. This is the fastest lube job in Fairbanks at Gage Truck and Auto, while you wait. And I believe that right now, at this time, this whole process is being placed into position. By next week, they'll have the fastest lube in Fairbanks. They will have their transmission specialists on hand doing the automatic transmissions. So give Gabe's a call. Ask them about their speedy, fast lubrication facilities. Ask them about their transmission facilities and learn all about it, because you just never know when that might be the topic of valuable conversation right here on Alaska Gold Trails. And keep in mind, we don't want to forget about that IM inspection. No pass, no pay at Gabe's. You know that. And also, you want to keep in mind that it snowed a little bit. There were a couple of accidents the last couple of days because of the slick roads. Gabe's has a 24-hour towing service. Write this number down. Put it in your glove compartment. It's 456-6156, because Gabe's can be there fast if you're in trouble. So write that number down, put it in your glove compartment, so that if you have a predicament, that you can call Gabe's and they can come and take care of your problem real fast. You can turn your rag into a ride right out there at Gabe's Truck and Auto. They're located off Van Horn, specifically, folks, 2058 Donald Road, and their phone number is 456-6156. Write it down and put it in your glove compartment. We're here with Bill Boucher, and we've got a call, Bill. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Jim.
Hi.
Jesse.
Who? Oh, Jesse. What's up?
I was calling to add to this thing on Gabe's. Yeah, I'm telling you, I do my homework on this, you know?
I guess you do,
yeah,
Jesse.
Yeah, because you left a couple things out.
Oh, no, did I?
Yeah, of course, the big thing is they're going to be doing the transmission. But you left out that they're also going to start doing front-end alignment.
Oh, they are. They always did front-end alignment.
Yeah, and you know why they can do the quickest oil change in town now?
No, I give up.
Because they're going to have a completely separate oil filter and lube rack.
Uh-huh.
So people that, in the past, people that wanted that done would have to wait until they got another job done, then they could do that.
Uh-huh.
All this way they can get the car right onto the rack and get it done immediately, if not sooner.
Uh-huh. What did you? So you phoned them up last week, and
I sure did.
Did you do that because I told you to do
that? That's right.
Jesse, yeah.
I thought you might ask me that this week.
Oh, I see. Look, Jesse, you know, I'd like to give you another prize, but I'm fresh out of prizes, buddy. But this is a free one.
I just wanted you to be sure to know that I did my homework.
Well, Jesse, I'm proud of you, and I want you to be the example for the rest of our community. Do your homework, and you get a lot of neat prizes. Is that right?
Right.
Huh? You've done pretty good on this program,
yeah,
haven't you?
Yeah, I sure have.
Huh? Well, we're glad to have you be involved with it. Now, if we could only get a few more people involved with it. We have had a lot of times, I don't know how you do it, buddy, but you must always be the first one on the line. I'm going to have to start clicking around here because the lights light up on this phone. I always take the first one first. And you're always there for the most part.
Most of the time, if I'm around.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'm in my car and I can't get to a phone, so that's when I don't call.
I see. Well.
But I'm listening.
Thanks, Jesse.
Okay.
Bye. Well, you can see how it is. Jesse's fast with that phone. Where were we, Bill? You told me we were going to do Gabe's Truck and Auto.
That's right.
And then?
And you did.
And I did. And
do I get a prize?
No, you do not get a prize. Bill asked me the other day, he said, well, what? Why, I want copies of my tapes. And I said, you can't have copies of your tapes. He says, why can't I have copies? Because I haven't made them yet. And he said, well, let's make them right now. Well, I wasn't in the mood to make them right now. But I want to tell everybody out there in listening land that in November of this year, a complete set of Alaska Gold Trails tapes will be provided to the University of Alaska Archives. I've taped every show that I've ever made, and it will be presented to them in November as a contribution, so that if any of you have got friends that you want a copy of that tape, I suspect you could drop right down there to the University of Alaska library and get a copy off of those tapes. I also want to say a little something about my friend Robbie Ginther over at Tip Top Chevrolet. He too is one of the sponsors of this program that's been with me for 2 years, and as many of you know, the Tip Top Chevrolet Buick has been in business for 32 years, and it's been owned and operated by three generations of Ginthers, and Robbie Ginther is currently the general manager. They have a bunch of folks over there that have been with them a long time, and this suggests to me that, you know, they have highly qualified people who understand the business working for you over there. New car sales, Jim Brown is there to serve you, and of course Jim's philosophy is to listen to the customer and try to help you out and get the exact piece of equipment or vehicle that you need for the type of work that you're doing. In the used cars business, I'm sure Elmer Ostblom shares the same philosophy. He wants you to get into the right vehicle because he knows if you're happy that you'll be back to see him in the future. And of course, Elmer's been with Tip Top Chevrolet for 6 years. Randy Meadows has been there for 6 years too, and with Tip Top Chevrolet, and he's in the service department. So stop over there and talk to those chaps about new cars and service. And if you have body shop or body work that you need done on your vehicle, Randy Mayu is your man to see over there. And Randy, of course, has been with Tip Top Chevrolet Buick for 6 years. So you can see that they have had people over there for a long period of time. And they're located, of course, 1916 South Cushman. And I'm sure Jesse would remember that. And their phone number is 452-8211. Give them a call. Tell them you heard Jim Madonna talking about them right here on Alaska Gold Trail. That's KFAR Radio 660 on your radio dial. We're back with Bill Boucher. We got 1 minute to go. Bill, what do you have to say about all that?
Sounds like fun.
Sounds like fun.
Sure.
Bill, we've been with you for 3 or 4 weeks now. We probably got you into the work, what you do electronically and how you consult. I suspect that we'll have you back on in the future, and we're going to ask about some of your more exciting stories, probably short stories that you may have had in Alaska and elsewhere, if you wish. And today I want to say thank you very much for being with me on Alaska Gold Trails, Bill.
I enjoyed it, Jim.
Folks, thanks so much for your phone calls, and thanks for joining us here on Alaska Gold Trails. This is Jim Madonna. I had a great deal of fun today, and I hope that you'll be with me next week right here on KFAR Radio 660 on your radio dial in Fairbanks, Alaska.
From ABC News, I'm Gary Nunn. Hurricane Hugo continues to strengthen, regaining most of the raw power.